Except the Lord shall build the house, the builders lose their pain. Except the Lord the city keep, the watchman watching vain. Is vain for you to rise betimes, or lay from rest to keep, to eat the bread of toil for soul, he gives his loved one sleep. Though children are God's heritage, and offspring his reward, the sons of youth as arrows are, for strong winds as prepared. Who hath his quiver filled with these, O happy shall he be, when foes they greet within the gate, they shall from shame be free.
That was Bob and Margie and Roy sitting at the kitchen table in the McCulloch's home here at 34 Keir Street in Glasgow. Ken and Floy and the boys are out in the hallway getting ready to come to Indianapolis. We're taking this opportunity to send a tape back with them. Bob is just getting ready to take off for class, and Margie is getting ready to do the same thing tomorrow. Bob, is there anything you'd like to pass on to the congregation?
It's good to be talking to home in Indianapolis. I think of you all and pray for you all often and daily. When I realized that I wasn't going to be able to go to Cyprus to be with the Smiths, I suffered a bit of a letdown, but I've become satisfied knowing that God is planning my life for me and that He knows what is best for me. Last week, I enrolled at Langside College, which is quite near the flat here in Glasgow. As Dad said, I'm just on my way out to a math class in a few minutes. I'm really enjoying this time here with Mom and Dad and the experiences that I've gone through in the last couple of weeks here with Mom and Dad and in Wishaw and in Ireland are invaluable to me. They're ones that I won't forget for a long time.
Margie, what have you to share with the congregation?
Well, first, hello and our love in Christ to you all there in Indianapolis. We do pray for you daily, and we thank God for you. You are in our hearts. I want to share Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. I like that whole chapter there, the first chapter of Philippians. It's just all full of things I want to say to you. And we know that you're praying for us too. And we do thank God for that. And please don't stop. I miss you ladies especially, and the girls. And I do miss you all. And I miss the children. There aren't very many little children here in the churches here. I want to ask if you children would remember to pray that there would be mommies and daddies who will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then lead their little children to Jesus here in Scotland. Would you remember that?
the psalm that we've just sung for you keeps on praying part of our prayer for you, that God will keep on building you as individuals and as families and as a family of families in the church. We've enjoyed singing together as a family in the car, in the camper, and wherever we've been, in the concentration camp there at Breendonk, or in the German home, or the Swiss home, or the Dutch home. Sometimes we've sung and people haven't understood us. As far as the language was concerned, we had to translate afterwards or make it known with sign language or some other way. But the music itself communicated something, and we've enjoyed singing so much. Within these last two or three days, with Ken and Floy and Greg and Peter, we've sat around in the McCulloch's kitchen here singing just so many times, and it's been such a delightful experience. And this psalm has been one that we've sung again and again among others. There are some things that I'd like to share with you as a congregation, and I believe that the words out of the book of Philemon there can express them just as directly as they can be expressed. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual through the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It hardly seems possible that it's been 3 months, a quarter of a year, since I last talked with you directly, the evening that you sent us out, laying your hands on our heads and praying that God would direct us and use us in ministry elsewhere throughout his world this year. And we have been with you in heart every week, and no day has passed without some thought of prayer for you as individuals or as a church. And each weekend especially, we've prayed for Fred or whoever was ministering, and God has put you in my heart. I never knew it more so than now. One of the other translations of that verse in Philemon says, every time I think of you, I thank God. And that's simply the way it is. Every time I think of you, I thank God. And I keep hearing of your love and of your faith. Your letters are such a tremendous blessing. During those first weeks when we were traveling, we had almost no news, and we missed you most of all then. Now the mail brings some word, a letter, it's a card, a tape, and it's like water on parched earth. We read in them your love and your faith toward us and toward the Lord Jesus and all saints. But beyond this, we keep hearing of your love and of your faith from other sources. Ministers and church members and others here in Scotland and last week over in Ireland. But before that, there were those on the continent, in Germany. In Germany, there was a family that we spent the evening with who were asking specifically about the ministry there in Indianapolis. They had been involved in it. And in Austria, at Schloss Mittersell, there were those who had heard of your ministry, and especially of the training program. They were asking about that. And in Switzerland, the friends at Le Brie were asking about it. And a number of people at Lausanne, at the World Congress in Evangelism, from various countries in the world, were asking. And they've asked many questions about what you're doing and how God is continuing to work through you. Two seminarians over in Ireland, they were here in Wishaw with the team of youth that came over here from Ireland. And now they're back in Ireland. And last week when we were over there, they were asking for a second time about how they could become involved in the summer and the winter training programs there in Indianapolis. The possibility is that they would be able to come over for the winter session and either come the summer before or remain the summer afterwards. And that way, see the congregation and become involved in the training program. Elders are asking questions about the session. The elders out here at Wishaw and some here in Nicholson Street are asking questions about the session and how it works. Pastors are asking about the outreach and the organization, and people are asking about the witnessing and the fellowship. And it all means that people have heard of your love and of your faith toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. And they want to know more of what God is doing. The communication of your faith is becoming effectual through the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And we're so thankful that God is allowing us to be involved with you and identified in with what he's doing among you all there. I'd like to ask that you'd pray for us in this particular matter, because in answering those questions it becomes very easy to pass over going beyond fact into theory, and to do it not just because it's good theory but because it's good theology. That we would not go beyond our actual experiences or go beyond what God has actually done with you and with us in that position. The importance of this came into clear focus for me just after the World Congress on Evangelism in Lausanne, Switzerland. Billy Graham, some of you may or may not know about that Congress, but Billy Graham had helped to gather together over 2,000 of the world's evangelical leaders from 200 different countries for a 10-day conference on evangelism. I had heard about this prior to leaving the United States. Dr. Will Norton, with whom we've worked in the Friday evening meetings and there in Indianapolis, and also on the board of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, he's the dean of the graduate school up at Wheaton, had been planning for this for 2 years, and he had talked with me about it off and on. And Paul Little had also been very much involved with it, and I had heard from him about it several times, but I did not tie that Congress in with a particular desire that God had put on my heart. And you prayed with me about this before we left there, and that prayer was simply this: God, show me what you are doing throughout your world. Make us knowledgeable of what you are doing in other places in your world. That was a desire, and you prayed with me about that. Well, God used that World Congress in Evangelism to answer many of those questions about what God is doing in other places in his world. That was one of the purposes of the Congress, to show and to let other people know what God is doing in other parts of his world. A number of years ago, there had been another Congress on Evangelism in Berlin, and the subject of that conference had been the theology of evangelism. This conference at Lausanne was to deal with the practical work or outworkings of evangelism. I had talked with Dr. Schaefer and with Paul Little the week before the Congress began about the program, and I came away from my conversations with them apprehensive about whether or not there was going to be, what would be accomplished. During the Congress, it was not possible to form many opinions, and I wasn't there for the whole time. Part of the time I was there, I was with Ken Smith and some of her navigator friends, and Ed Brown, who was there, and a number of other men, and it was, we were too close to the meetings to form much opinion. But in the weeks following, I was able to read some of the papers, and then 2 weeks later, when it was with Dr. Stott in London, and we went to London, we were in his church one Sabbath morning, and then after the church service, the church has a very, very interesting custom of serving coffee and sandwiches around in the session house behind the auditorium. And we went round there, and after we had had our coffee and sandwiches, then they explained the ministry of the church and invited people to ask more questions about it. And Dr. Stott, who's a bachelor, invited our family to go with him to his apartment afterwards, and we talked with him for a long time that afternoon. And I asked him how this year's Congress compared with the Berlin Congress. And he said it was the practical emphasis. I'm almost quoting him now. He said, we yawned our way through the Berlin Conference, but not this one. And it became very clear to me as I had read some of those papers from the Berlin Congress that some of the men who had had the most to say had had the least experience. And this was also true, it seemed to me, with some of the men at the Lausanne Congress. Some of those who had the most to say about how it ought to be done had had the least experience with actually leading men to Christ and then building them up in the Christian life. They were trying to tell other people how to do something that they had not done themselves, or worse yet, they were waiting for someone else to bring people to Christ and lead them on in building them up and bring them into the church, and then they would show them what to do after they got into the church. And I'd like to ask that you would pray for me that I would not go beyond what God has actually done in answering the questions of people who are asking about you and about the ministry there in Indianapolis, but that he would keep me honest and close to the facts. The Apostle Paul said at one point that he was boasting on those with whom he had worked in another church. And I feel that that I'm in safe company when I'm with him in boasting upon you. And yet I don't want to go beyond the truth, beyond the facts of what God actually has done. It'd be so easy over here in the enthusiasm of the moment to go beyond the facts in talking of you. If I just tell the truth about the way in which your witness is becoming effectual through the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus, that will be sufficient. Please pray for us in that. God is answering many of the prayers, petitions, requests that we made together to him just before we left. The weeks together as a family traveling were especially precious and a real blessing to us as a family. Not only were we protected, but we were directed. It was a growing situation and with opportunities for witness as we did travel. The opportunities for ministry are showing up. And here too, this is in answer to prayer. We've seen some opportunity for witness in the Reformed Presbyterian Church over here. We're very much concerned about the trends in the congregations here in Scotland just now. From 1750 until the early 1900s, the Scottish Church for over 100 years gave men, ministers, families, and all other kinds of help in order to help the church in Ireland and in the United States. And in one sense of the word, the Scottish Church is a kind of mother, and the Irish and North American churches are her daughters. Now it is as though the daughters have become very busy with their own ministries, and God is blessing and prospering in the Irish church in a tremendous way. Incidentally, every place we went, we heard of the ministry that Ron and Carolyn Homa had been involved in there. And following them, Ken and Floy Smith and others. It is as though the Irish and the U.S. churches have now become very, very busy and involved in their outreach. And it would appear that there was a need for some real help for the church in Scotland. Marcus is a very key man in all this. And we need to be praying with him and helping him all that we can in every way. It would be so good if he could see the Chicago situation before he returns and understand it, as well as just see it, because it seems to me that there are many similarities between what the congregation in Chicago has faced and what the congregation of which he is the pastor, this Nicholson Street congregation here in Glasgow, are facing. The Irish youth can also be a key factor in this. It was a real blessing to see the team of young people who had come over from Ireland to live and work in Wishaw, Scotland for a week, going out each day, each evening with the elders and others to do some calling from house to house, sharing the gospel and inviting people to the church services, but also sharing the gospel with them in their homes. In the afternoons, they held open-air street meetings. In the later evening, they held a coffee house in the downtown YMCA for teenagers. In the mornings, they met with groups of church members, older church members, and showed them how to do an ABC Bible study. And our own children were involved with them, Bill, Beth, and Bob. And it was a very thrilling thing to see youth from the United States and from Ireland working together in Scotland. Dr. Guthrie is the pastor of the Wishaw Church, and I was preaching for him the last 2 weeks. He was away on holiday. And after church in the home of one of his elders one evening, a man over 60, the man said, and I'm quoting from him, "What I need is more training," end quote. He had been out at almost every one of those meetings with the youth. He and his wife had worked very hard and long hours in helping to prepare the meals and other things for the outreach that week. Last Sabbath evening after church, we were invited to the home of another one of the elders. And along with another couple, he too was an elder, we talked until almost midnight. Margie was with the ladies and I was with the men, about how to give your, how to explain to someone else about how you had come to know God and do it effectively, and also how to explain the gospel message to someone who wanted to know it. And in closing that evening, the three men prayed for a specific person with whom they would have opportunity to share the gospel that week. Dr. Guthrie and his wife love the Lord. He had lived in Turkey for some time as a missionary there. He's a powerful teacher of the word. Their home is open to ministry. And there's a real opportunity there in the Wishaw congregation. The people in Glasgow and in the Nicholson Street congregation here are looking forward to the return of Marcus and May McCullough. We're praying to get to know them better. I'm to preach their communion services in October. We've been in their services each week, except when we were otherwise involved in ministry somewhere else. Margie met with the ladies on one evening, and yet we still feel that we need to get better acquainted with them. Tommy Hughes and his family, the man whose radio we've been using to talk to Chuck Morgan, has also spoken of his desire to know more about the church, as he calls it, in the United States, and explained to us that he himself was a Roman Catholic. But he's interested, and there is some real possibility of becoming involved in a Bible study with him and his wife. We are still planning to be here until the semester ends, or the term ends, around December the 13th. Margie's school is just getting underway this week. Bob's has already gotten underway. And we'll be here until around December the 13th, and then we'll be living in Waymo into January and proceeding from there on down into Palestine. After talking with Ken Smith this week, it looks as though there still might well be possibility of our being in Cyprus for a shorter period of time, but nevertheless being there. We are looking forward to being with the Vedanos and others in Beirut, and have heard from them. They're anticipating that. And from there, we'll go on across as planned. At Lausanne, I was able to talk with Dr. Bak Singh and Dr. Akbar Hawk. Dr. Hawk is an associate evangelist of Billy Graham's, and they will be holding a crusade in northern India at that time, and he's asked me to join them and work with them in that for as long as we can. Dr. Bak Singh is a man in India who's particularly involved in the development of indigenous churches. I was very thankful to have the invitation from him to see the indigenous churches that have been developed in southern India there. Don McCurry, also in Pakistan, has invited us to talk with him there. And there are others along that route. So as far as we know, we'll be following the plan as we had laid it out before you there that last evening at the church. And these opportunities for ministry and witness are things we'd like to ask you to be praying with us about. The opportunities are here now in Scotland, and we're desiring to be used by God here. The first request was that God would show us more of what he's doing throughout his world, and this prayer is certainly being answered. The second request is that we would be telling the truth about you and the effectual communication of your witness to those who are asking so many questions about you because of the good name of your witness in other parts of his world. And interwoven with this is a request that you'd pray with us about Bob's part in all this. We've just received notice of his eligibility to participate in the National Merit Scholarship Finalist Program. And he would make a very welcome asset in traveling on with us on the trip itself. As to whether he should do this or whether we should try to find someplace else for him to be, he's open to whatever God wants, and so are we in this matter. Please pray that God will give us wisdom in it, and if he's to go with us on the trip, that we'd know this, and that it would work out well with him insofar as the remainder of his academic program is concerned. We will continue to keep you informed about this, and from time to time I'd like to share with you as we are doing here on the tape. Thank you for all your prayers for us. Especially that God will make us bold and loving in his witness. And each one of your cards and letters and tapes are an event. You've been so helpful in forwarding mail. I hesitate to begin mentioning names, but Karen and Leslie there in the office have been such a blessing to us in this way. And so many of the rest of you from whom we have heard, and others of you from whom we haven't heard yet, but we're certainly looking forward to hearing from you. We love you. We miss you, especially at a time like this, which is close to your communion time. But we thank God for his ongoing work in your hearts and your lives. We continue to pray with and for you, thanking God for that effectual witness which he has given you. Not only there in the Indianapolis area, but in other parts of his world. And we're continuing to pray for the work that he continues to do in your hearts and in your lives. We see ourselves as being the extension of your prayers and your ministry from Indianapolis there to Scotland here and on further in the trip later on. And we know we're where God wants us to be, but we're looking forward so much to being back with you in June. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual through the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I'd like to add this as a kind of postscript. To commend to your love and special care Canon Floyd Smith and Greg and Peter, be bringing this tape, and they are refugees from Cyprus. Their plans and thoughts and anticipations of the future have all been changed very suddenly. They arrived here just about a week ago. Ken's had managed to get his car out and some of their possessions. Car was a British drive car and therefore needed to be sold here. Tickets needed to be purchased. Packing needed to be reaccomplished. And these things were done here in the last few days. I'd like to commend them to you as people who are very special in God's eyes, and that you would get to know them very rapidly, and the vision and desires that God has put on their hearts, and to help them to find God's will and His particular purpose in their lives. They will be where God wants them to be a year, 5 years, 10 years from now. It occurred to me many times in these past few days as we have been singing and talking and praying and thinking together about the situation in Cyprus and in Scotland and the United States, that God has laid on their hearts some of the same vision that He's put on our hearts. And it could well be that God would want this man ministering close to us there in Indiana, that you as a congregation would be helping them to become reoriented. The boys need to get into school immediately. And the boys... lifted out on a helicopter and taken to Beirut as refugees. They've been living there in apartments and more recently traveling across country. That God has given Ken real vision and discernment in the development of a program for the further development of leadership in the church, and that the vision that God has put on his heart for church extension is in many ways similar to that vision which God has laid on our hearts there in Indianapolis and in the Ohio-Illinois Presbytery. I'd like to ask that you would not only help Ken and Floyd and the boys in every way in rapidly becoming oriented and in the research as far as the schools there are concerned, but also that the commission would at a very early opportunity meet with Ken and hear what's on his heart and talk with him about what the needs and opportunities are there in the presbytery. There would be possibility of ministry at Columbus with a man there full time. The desire that, as you know, is very close to my own heart, and I would really ask you to keep praying about this. And as we pray for, with you from week to week, we're praying about the development of that second center of ministry there in Indianapolis. It's becoming, as I see it from a distance, even more and more important that this would be developed as rapidly as possible.